Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today is a special day. We've been talking all season long about Heroes Unlimited Second Edition. We've gone through every page of that book, we've gone from the front cover to the back cover, and we've covered the entire thing, identifying the dumbest thing on each page. Along the way, to lend a little bit of context and interest to a lot of the sections of this book, the skill section, the superpower section, the power categories, and so on, I've been making a character. If you've been following along all season, you know that starting at the very beginning with attributes, I've been creating a character, Borgen, my poor, dumb, unlikable baby, starting all the way from her shitty stats. On like day five of this season, we've been sticking with Borgen all the way through. Now, in a kind of coda to this season, I'm going to tie all the pieces together, take everything that we know that we randomly generated about Borgen, and just kind of tick off all those things one by one in one big story that ties it all together and gives her a proper origin story, which is, of course, the birthright of all superheroes, no matter how little anyone gives a shit about them. I mean, except Ambush Bug, I guess, but the bar is low. All right, so first things first, before we kind of lay out this whole story of who Borgen is and where she came from and her origin, I want to run down the things we know about her that we either randomly generated or on rare occasion chose from the straight up Heroes Unlimited character creation process. And then as we go through her whole story that I've created, we're just going to do a little ding sound effect whenever we check one of those off. So here we go. Rapid fire. Here are the things we know about Borgen. She was first born in her family. She was, quote, raised by poor laborers in a large alien city. She's a worrywart. She has a humanoid canine body. She comes from a planet with a toxic atmosphere. I won't run down all her attributes, but we have to account for a fairly weak IQ, mental endurance, and mental affinity. We also know that she has the secondary skills of art, swimming, and hunting. She has military skills, demolitions, underwater demolitions, parachuting, and then a few weapon proficiencies. Energy pistol, energy rifle, knife, and spear. As part of her military training, she also has some physical skills, boxing and athletics. Her powers come from radiation and were the unexpected side effect of an experiment by a secret medical organization. Those powers are, in addition to her mega hero abilities like supernatural strength, alter physical body, body weapons, mental stun, and multiple limbs. She has espionage skills, disguise, forgery, intelligence, and hand-to-hand assassin. She has middling familiarity with Earth, including three Earth languages. She was outfitted for her mission to Earth with an extensive wardrobe of Earth clothes, a large amount of money in Earth currency and precious metals, an energy trident, and hover jet boots. At some point, she ran away from her sponsoring organization that gave her her powers, and we know that she crash-landed on Earth. She has further secondary skills of first aid, prowl, and general repair slash maintenance. And finally, this is not a thing we got from the system, but it's a thing we still need to cover, she needs a superhero name. We all know and love her as Borgen, but to hang with Earth's heroes, she's gonna need a goofy superhero name, therefore we gotta give her one. So alright, with all that in mind, it's time for the secret origin of Borgen. I take you now to Sirius 9, the ninth planet orbiting the second star of the Sirius system. From a distance, it looks blue and otherwise Earth-like, except for orbiting shield satellites that protect the planet from the intense radiation of its star, and also, incidentally, from nosy Earth astronomers. It's not the 1960s anymore, when we have an alien planet living it up with radio waves and nuclear wars within galactic spitting distance of Earth. We do need to explain why Earthlings don't know about it. A closer look at Sirius 9 reveals an idyllic garden planet dotted by gigantic concentrations of industrial urban development. In these isolated clusters, are just smothered under a haze of pollution. These are the production centers, which are gigantic, mostly automated city complexes that supply goods and technology to the whole planet and act as cities to house the laborers who do upkeep for all that production. The divide is dramatic. From the edge of a production center, where the fog of pollution is thinnest, you can see the unspoiled wilderness stretching out to the horizon just outside the city. Like its geography, Sirius 9's cultures are strictly divided. It has two sapient species, both descended from canines, but they diverged long ago. The hybrid, who live in scattered estates all over the garden portion of the planet resemble anthropomorphic Afghan hounds, the breed of dog that, to my taste, looks most like a privileged asshole. The lowbred, who are equally numerous but really concentrated in production centers, resemble anthropomorphic pugs. The lowbred exclusively service the production centers. They provide the unskilled physical labor to keep the automated cities running. Borgen's story begins 24 years ago when she was born to two maintenance technicians, effectively janitors, and therefore poor laborers, in a production center called Diamond City. They loved their baby, they lavished attention on her, but Borgen struggled in school, and she had a whimsical side that clashed with the workaholic ethos of the other lowbred, who are heavily enculturated to be practical and to focus on work. So she grew into a timid, self-conscious child despite her parents' support. Borgen was happiest when drawing in her sketchbook, that's her art, drawing, or on her occasional trips to the country with her family, who would take her to hunt, camp, swim, and run in the open spaces. The lowbred are forced to live in production centers, but they're allowed occasional visits to the countryside as a reward for working hard and keeping their heads down. During one of the planet's many wars, Borgen was drafted to invade another production center across the globe. She didn't like the idea of fighting other lowbred, but she enjoyed the physical training involved in military service, despite her very mediocre aptitude. I imagine that throughout her school career, Borgen raised her hand highest and got picked last for many, many sports. During basic training, which taught her to use a knife and energy weapons, including pistol and rifle, she also learned boxing and mouth disc, which is like football, only it's also fetch. Borgen's preference for taking out machines and infrastructure rather than people, by which I mean dog people, and her difficulty working with others, her shyness, her artsiness, her lack of confidence, these all pushed her strangely toward becoming a sort of marine, which in her planet's military tradition is a relatively independent advanced fighter who takes out automated defenses prior to infantry action. She was trained in demolitions, including underwater demolitions for attacking production centers on a coastline, trained in parachuting, and the use of the energy trident that Marines favor due to its usability underwater as both a melee and ranged weapon. Notice me sneaking some extra functionality onto that energy trident. There's not even a GM in this situation, and I'm still back on my bullshit. I'm such a veteran at weaseling additional powers for my character through backstory that I just do it uncontrollably. I'm sorry. Borgen served a couple of years without distinction in the conflict for which she was drafted, until a mine that she was disarming detonated prematurely, costing her her arm. Before she could die of her wounds, though, Borgen was rescued by a hover ambulance from Aurum Retrieval Services, a private medical company that provided battlefield medics to both sides of the war. This is where you all boo capitalism. I'll wait. While recovering in the hospital, Borgen was approached by an Aurum representative with a secret offer. An experimental treatment could make her body extremely mutable, mutable enough to regrow her arm with radiation treatment. However, in exchange for the treatment, she'd have to serve in a special military role, in space, where treaties on her planet forbid the military to operate. Despite the obvious shadiness of this offer, Borgen jumped at the treatment and the chance to see space. Let us not judge Borgen too harshly. Imagine if someone offered your dog the chance to go to space. To the extent that your dog could comprehend that possibility, I think your dog would be on board. That's the nature of dogs and the nature of space, okay? So, Borgen underwent an experimental radiation treatment. Her arm grew back, but Aurum's secret goal, which was to transform her into a shapeshifter with telepathic powers, wasn't realized. Her body's mutation grew out of control. The experiment had to be shut down improperly in a big hurry, which left her body unstable for days. When she woke up, her arm was back, but her body had changed in unexpected ways. She could change her fur color, grow taller or shorter, even change her limbs, including her newly prehensile tail, into weapons. She was also vastly stronger and tougher than she had ever been before, or than the experimenters expected her to become. However, attempts to restart and complete the radiation treatment failed. Her body had grown so unstable that they discovered even small amounts of radiation could kill her. By the way, that's her mega hero weakness. I forgot to mention it at the top. That's a bonus ding there. After her recovery, Borgen enjoyed her powers at first, and she dove into her training in infiltration skills like disguise, forgery, intelligence, and even assassin training. She assumed that this training in covert ops was because she'd be engaging in these space missions that her people weren't meant to find out about. However, she soon learned a much darker reason for both her training and the experiment that gave her her powers. Aurum was part of a government cabal that intended to use her as one of a handful of invasion spear points to colonize alien worlds. It was sponsoring illegal interstellar flights to find a new world that could be colonized and to which the lowbred could be expelled. leaving Sirius 9 to the hybrid who, it turns out, no longer needed laborers to tend to the production centers, and therefore wanted to repurpose the lowbred as a colonizing force. The plan was to send agents who could transform into the shape of the locals, gather information, make first contact, and then use infiltration and assassination to soften the planet up for colonization. Both because of Borgen's great unexpected power, and because she hadn't quite turned out to be the shapeshifter they had wanted, Orym decided to send Borgen to a world with lots of superpowers and a high cultural propensity to trust a doggy face, Earth. Borgen was prepared with Orym's best, albeit incomplete, intelligence about Earth, including three Earth languages, English, Spanish, and French. She was sent with a wardrobe of Earth clothing, the better to make a good impression, and with a bankroll of Earth treasure and currency. Her mission was to gather information, make first contact, and get in position to assassinate some of Earth's greatest heroes in the event of an invasion. However, Borgen was not comfortable with her orders. Immediately after landing, she attempted to take her landing craft back home to inform on Orym to her own people and blow the conspiracy wide open. Sadly, Borgen does not have much of a poker face, and her handler had taken precautions, shorting the vessel on fuel, so that if Borgen attempted to fly it independently of the agency, as she did, it would run out of power in atmosphere and crash. It did so. Borgen barely had time to grab her survival kit, including her clothing and Earth money, and some emergency jet boots that had been meant for emergency exterior repairs on the ship, when the ship crashed. Borgen was saved from the burning wreckage of her ship by Misha Jackson, an old woman in rural Georgia who'd been up late reading a romance novel when Borgen's ship crashed. Misha nursed Borgen back to health despite her own medical troubles, after which time the quick-healing Borgen took over caring for Mrs. Jackson by doing her chores and small home repairs. The two became good friends, and Borgen learned a little more of Earth culture, albeit filtered through novels and daytime television, from Jackson. Borgen made a hilariously abortive attempt to operate in secret in her little Georgia town. I like to think that she ventured out in a trench coat and fedora, like The Thing or the Ninja Turtles, and was immediately mobbed at the supermarket by people who couldn't help noticing that she is a 6'6" anthropomorphic pug. After that, she became a minor celebrity and had no choice but to go public as a super being. When you're the only pug girl on Earth, you've been forced into public view, and you've got superpowers, your best career option is pretty clear. So, in a debut complete with a giant Southern Belle dress, Borgen introduced herself to the human world as Pug-O-War, a walking, fuzzy arsenal who's a little goofy, a little shy, a lot pug, but stylishly dressed and here to serve the cause of justice. What Borgen didn't reveal at her debut, nor to the superheroes who invited her into their ranks, was her original mission to Earth, to infiltrate and assassinate superhero communities very much like the one she was now joining. Finally, back on Sirius 9, Orym Retrieval Services found themselves unable to go public with their vendetta against Borgen. As part of her secret military position, she was officially listed as deceased, and her illegal deployment into space was also purely off the books. Any open search or hostility toward Borgen would have compromised the entire operation. However, Orym does suspect that Borgen might have survived. The medical organization and its shady government benefactors are already preparing an expedition to Earth to retrieve Borgen and clean up her mess by completing the colonization of Earth. Could there be another agent with powers like Borgen's, preparing even now to fly to Earth and take her on? Or perhaps the treatment has worked on future agents, and they've become shapeshifters who are true telepaths, and therefore better infiltrators, as opposed to Borgen, whose incomplete telepathic powers allow her to make mental contact with others that does nothing but stun and disorient both parties. You see how I'm slipping in the possibility that mental stun becomes the much more useful power of telepathy down the line? I can't help it. I'm a menace to GMs and I have to be stopped. These questions about Sirius 9, about the Orym agency, we can't answer them now. They would be answered in play. But that's the story up to now. The secret origin of Pug-O-War. And with that, this season of MDC is done. I'm putting Borgen's final character sheet up on the Instagram. It may be slightly late in going up. I'm recording this like right down to the wire. It just kind of worked out that way, but it'll be up soon. All that remains is to thank you all for listening to this season of MDC. This is still a tiny little podcast, but listenership has definitely grown during this season, and I appreciate everyone who's listened to the show, interacted with the show, told others about it. You may be wondering, especially if you don't follow me on Twitter, what's happening in the future of MegaDumbCast. The timeline is very hazy still, but here are the basics. We're going to be doing something related to Heroes Unlimited, a short little mini-series, like what I did in between Season 1 and 2, where I went through the Rifter for Ninjas and Super Spies material. It's going to be something like that. It's going to be a short series of episodes, like a few weeks, and I'm going to be using it to raise money to pay for season 3. I at least need to be able to pay for hosting for another year or whatever it takes to do another book. I probably will try to raise more money for season 3 than I did for season 2. Now that I've got a baby here in the apartment, finding the time and space to record a daily podcast is getting much more difficult. There are solutions, but a lot of them cost money. So we'll see how things go. Assuming I'm able to raise the money for season 3, whatever it turns out that I need, my plan is to do another full Palladium book. I don't know which one it's going to be yet. A number of options have been floated. Villains Unlimited, Beyond the Supernatural, maybe something like Aliens Unlimited. If you've got any recommendations, feel free to send them into the show. Let me know on Twitter. Let me know by email. But I'll let you know that I've decided against doing full treatment of Transdimensional TMNT, Mystic China, or Rifts at this time. Three obvious choices that have a lot of appeal, but for various reasons, none of them are a good choice right now. So that's it. Thanks again. Stay tuned. And before you know it, we'll be talking about something else Heroes Unlimited related on a special mini-series of MDC, The Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.